jump into the whole message this morning, let's just open in a word of prayer. Father, you're just so good. You're just so good. And for our family, like Joshua, that's not here, protect them, bring them back safely to us. And for those that are here this morning, as we gather in your name and for your honor and glory and for your praise. And we just thank you for the opportunity to minister to one another this morning and to be here before you. And thank you for overseeing this and now speaking to each one of us individually as you'd like to have communicated to us today. And we thank you for bringing that special message to each one of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to have a great time. It's going to be a lot of fun. And last week we talked about going back, right, and taking a look at the Garden of Eden, and we kind of recapped a few things. But I get the question. The question is, now, where do we go from here, right? Where do we go from here? Jordan, can you tell us where we're going from here? Here we go. We're going back to the future. I don't know if you know Marty McFly or not, but he was one of my great characters that I enjoyed many years ago in that fun little movie series. It was pretty something. It was something else. But we're going back to the future, part two. And the title of the message today is "And Then There Were Three." So the next slide shows us that the verses that we're going to look at today are right out of Ephesians chapter 6. We're just going to follow along. We were in Ephesians 5 last week. We just want to roll down into 6. Now we're not going to cover everything, but there's a discourse going on here that it's inclusive. So this is something that the church at Ephesus was getting from Paul, and this was an amazing opportunity for people to be emancipated, really. We like to glorify. Anybody like Westerns, old Western movies? Yeah. We like to glorify the old days, the good old days. We didn't live there, and we have no idea what it was like, all right? But you go way back beyond that, even harsher, more gritty, less forgiving than that were these days that the New Testament was written in. And it was not a fun place. But I want to just look at a few things that happened this morning and that are recorded for us in Ephesians chapter 6 and have affected our whole of society, our whole world, for the better today. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Now, last week, right, we talked about having a family, the perfect couple. Okay, the perfect couple. And, you know, what I want you to do is, this is great, you know. Abe and Christine, actually a supermodel for us, right? They're a fantastic young couple. That's taken in Hawaii, kind of a little, our version of paradise here on this time on earth. But eventually what happens a lot of times is when you have the perfect couple, then there was three or more. And so the perfect family shows up and everybody's having a great time and everything just goes well and there's absolutely no issues, right? Right. Okay, so let's do a reality check. This is what it actually looks like, right? We look good on photo day, but every other day of the week, we're just trying to figure out how to feed ourselves and, you know, not get it all over the place. Dan? Yeah, I see Dan Johnson back there. Okay, he's helping Lila with that right now, right? But we just see our lives and we look at the pictures around us so we can be influenced to think that, oh, everybody else has it so easy or everything just goes so perfectly for them, and we know that's not the truth. But another reality check is this. I had a great post on Facebook. This is actually from my neighbor. "I hate it when I get done with the laundry that I see my family going around wearing clothes." Lindsay and Phil Brecker live across the street from Jill and I in our neighborhood. And actually, you'll see some of their kids here for the youth rally. But their oldest daughter's in senior high, and they have 9 kids, 9 of them. And it's just a party in the neighborhood all the time. Like, you don't know who's going to be showing up in your yard. It's a great time. And but I'll tell you what, Lindsay not only has 9 children, okay, they love the Lord, they're a faithful family, they go to Plymouth Covenant, but she also homeschools all 9 kids. Absolutely unbelievable. So it is really funny because generally 100% of the time her children do have clothes on when they're outside. And so she does a good job there. But I just thought that was so cute. She posted that on Facebook, and I said, "Oh, I'm going to use that." I didn't even ask her for permission. I thought, "Hey, it's out there in public now. She's not going to mind." So, but if we look into the context of this, and we see this, it's not hard. This is not a difficult passage in a lot of ways, but it's just so fundamental to what's going on in our world today. Children, obey your parents. Right? How many here, when they were young, as children growing up, loved to obey their parents all the time? You thought, hey, chores, give me more. No, that's fine. I love, you know, okay, how many grew up here, they had a brother and or sister? How many here just had sisters? How many here just had brothers? Right. So, like, Josh and Ashley, they got this whole baseball team thing going on right now, right? Three boys, the Benchifs. Right? Three boys. I was one of four boys. We had no daughters in our house, no sisters in our house. So it presents kind of an interesting opportunity. I remember in complete innocence when I was young, my dad told me I had to start, you know, learning how to do the laundry and stuff. And this is back with the old, you know, wringer washers where you put the clothes through the top and then you have to feed it and all that kind of stuff. And I said, but isn't that like a woman's work? Right? Because, well, my dad went to work and my mom stayed at home and took care of us kids. And my dad taught me a really simple lesson back then. He said, hey, did your mom wear those clothes or did you? And I said, well, I did. Did she make them dirty or did you? I said, well, I did. He goes, well, if you can make them dirty, you can make them clean, right? And if you want to eat, you can cook your own meals, right? You know, to this day, one of the things I really enjoy, I like ironing. I ironed my shirt. I don't know if I'm supposed to or not with this kind of shirt, but I ironed my shirt this morning. I just love doing it. It's kind of fun. You look at it, you get all the creases out of it and everything. Then you sit down and it looks like this again. But, you know, for a while there, it looks pretty good, right? But the thing my dad taught me was, right, and he was a great example of this, is that when you're in a house, you're in a relationship, you got things to do. He did not believe in allowance. You don't get money for existing, you know? No one was paying him to cut the grass, right? And he taught us we had to do that kind of stuff too. And it's one of the things that, you know, I taught our kids too. We didn't do allowance. I mean, if you do, that's fine. That's your own personal thing. But we didn't do allowance. Things have to get done. You have to maintain things. Life is work. Life is work. So kids, mom and dad need you to do this. Stop. Get off your technology right now and listen to me. Okay? Mom and dad, you get off yours too. All right? But the thing is this, right? It's a godly thing, and it shows your love for God when you obey your parents, right? Even when you don't want to. And we're all like that. We're all like that. But how many of us as adults do the same thing to our Heavenly Father? I'd really like to do this. No, don't do that. And you go ahead and do it anyway, right? Or you should do something and you don't. All right? So this is just not an age thing right now. I just want to make that application. But here, it's written to children, actually people that are under the age of 20. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Kids, listen to your parents. You'll live longer. That's it. Simple story. Don't listen to your folks. You could wipe yourself out fast. Hey, none of us are guaranteed any amount of time here, right, on the earth. When we're talking about obedience, that's joyfully doing and participating in what mom and dad set out to do. Is that what our society trains our children to do? No, okay? Honoring your father and mother, that's literally as kids, you hold your parents up in high esteem, right? You show people that you're proud of them, right? You don't have to say, Mom, I love you. You just have to hold them up and your parents know that you're loving on them, right? But it's so important because this is not the value system that our kids hear when they go out the door. They're at school, right? They're not taught what you're teaching in your homes. And that's why it's so important for you to be here, because here, we're going to back you up with what you say at the house, right? Because you, as parents who love the Lord, are doing this in a godly fashion. But mom and dad, also, put you on notice here. If there's some things in your life you need to kick out, then kick it out. What is it we want our children to have? We want them to have a firm grasp of the obvious, don't we? And the only way they get that is if they see it modeled. You can say all you want. That becomes a clanging cymbal, right? But if you are willing to go ahead and go ahead with God and get down the road with him and do what he asks you to do, you can have a huge impact on your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And we see that here today because we see this happening at church all the time. So, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. In verse 4, this is a great piece, and it's something that followed what already happened earlier in chapter 5 between husband and wife. That society, women and children were less in status than men were. Okay? God's word brings everybody out of that darkness, that lack of understanding. Right? And here, we're seeing specifically, dads, you need to listen to your kids and understand they're emotional beings, and they're counting on you not to frustrate them. And really what that, if you get the picture of frustration, it's almost like put them into a state of depression where it's an oppressive life that they have to live. Right? Isn't it amazing how quickly kids can bounce back from things? Right? I was talking to a young man on the phone the other day. He gave his parents a real run for his money. We'll have him up here sometime too. But he was doing pretty well in life, and then he made a couple bad decisions, and it's taken him years to get back on track, and he finally is. But, you know, when you see kids take off like that, you know, it can be so hurtful when you get older. But when you're little, you can bounce. They bounce back so quickly. You know, their point of reference isn't the same. Their independent thinking isn't the same. So this opportunity kind of rebound, and you see this Wade who I was talking about, he was in Africa, and he was ministering over there on a missions trip, and he said it was just unbelievable, the extreme poverty. But even within the extreme poverty, these kids had a happiness about them, right? And when the missionaries came, there was a great joy there, and many came to Christ. But, you know, it's really something else how resilient kids are, and they are dads. But don't be too hard on them. Don't be too easy on them either. Okay? So the expectation is that you're going to train, nurture, and supervise your kids. You're going to watch over them. Did it tell you when the expiration date is on that? I still have input in my kids' life. Do you think my dad ever calls me, checks up on me, had taken care of Jill? Is everything good? What's going on? I still have to answer to my father, right? I do. And I want to. He's my hero. Right? I'm proud of him. Hey, he endured a life that I never had to endure. He had things inflicted on his life. Well, I inflicted them on myself if I had any problems. You know what I mean? But that's an incredible thing, is to have this privilege and this opportunity, dads. And we talked about it last week, to have this with your wife too. To grow closer to God, be more conformed to the image of Christ, and have that impact your family. Not just for today, but for eternity. A couple things I want to bring up too, and this going back to the resilience of kids, I think there's just some fun things that kids say. Here's one little boy. His name is Stephen. He's 3 years old, and his mom was tucking him in at night, and he wanted to tell his mom how much he loved her. And he said this: as Stephen hugged and kissed his mom goodnight, he said, "Mom, I love you so much that when I die, I'm going to bury you outside my bedroom window." Right. So another boy. Okay, Alan, age 10, he says, "How do you know who to marry?" Alan says, "Well, you got to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like, if you like sports, she should be okay that you like sports, and she should keep the chips and dip coming." Another one. Okay, this is another little boy, age 8. "How can you tell if two people are married?" He said, "Well, you might have to guess based on whether or not they seem to be yelling at the same kids." Says the last one is this little girl, Lori, age 8. Says, "What do you think your mom and dad have in common?" "They don't want any more kids," right? That's what they have in common. But as we look at a couple things here, I just want to talk about the focus of a family. Not focus on the family, but focus of the family. And just some things that I think we really need to take focus of, and that's things that are actually going on here right now at Oak Grove Church. Number one is our picture of disciple up there in the left-hand corner. You have those three circles, right? The first one is love God, right? The second one is love the family of God. And the third one is love others, or those who are far from God. So that's something as a parent, if you're looking for a track to run on and you want to have focus in your life for your training of your children, this is it, right? You got three prayers there that are just absolutely deep, where we can discover our identities and our intimacy with the Lord, but we can also have this huge impact in the family of God and then lead people to Christ, people that need to know him still. So that's a great picture, to a good place to start from, and I hope moms and dads are understanding, learning that, and modeling it. The second thing is, we did this training last year where we just looked at personality. So up there in the top right-hand corner, you'll see four different blocks, right? And one's red, right? And red people, those are those hard-charging, high-energy, dogmatic, a little bit over the top, right? But good decision makers, quick decision makers, kind of business type people, right? And we know those people, right? But then some people are blues, right? And blues are really, really fun. They couldn't be on time to save their bacon, but they're really a lot of fun. Green people are very analytical. And then yellow people are, I'll call them the tree huggers, right? They're the people that feel and emote and have a lot of empathy for a lot of things. But your kid is built. Your kid was made in a specific way. And if we look at Proverbs 22:6, start children on the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And that's what that bent is right there, okay? When we look at our kids, my daughter is not the same as my son, and my wife is not the same as either of my two kids. So we have to know, how did God make them, right? How did he bring them together so that they function and serve him in his purpose for life? It's not just a cookie-cutter scenario. There are some behavioral things, yes, you can be cookie-cutter about, but how do you minister and meet that kid of yours, right? That the one that's just as strong-willed as anything. That's our daughter. She is just, oh man, is she tough, right? Just really, really strong-willed, and she excels, right? She pushes herself hard, but she'll push people around her hard too, okay? Luke, you know, our son, much more green, very analytical guy, right? And a real feeler, but nobody is one of those things. You're a combination of those things. But understand that. You need to get to know what your family's all about. The third thing is, in Matthew 27:38, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, your whole person. You want to love God with your whole person. Is that hard to do? It's really hard. And some days, I just look at myself and I kind of go, what are you thinking? How come you're kind of stuck? Where's your head right now? You know, and we need to focus and kind of put ourselves back in the right context and understand, hey, listen, you have an opportunity to talk with and work with the creator of everything today. Take advantage of it. And in my lazy, selfish, self-centered old nature that we all still deal with, I kind of go, really? It's hard. This is a hard thing. Walking through life and staying focused on the Lord is hard. Why? Because our natural inclination is to revert back to what we were born as. Right? And so the Holy Spirit comes in and allows us to be free from that. And that's the thing we really want to do, is understand, hey, we're not talking about having a good time today. We're talking about living a life that is free. No matter what the circumstances in this world bring our way, we can overcome those things, right? Because of God and who he is and what he's done in our lives and the fact that he has made us his children, right? We're his actual children. Proverbs 13:24, in training the body, it says this, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Wow. The rod of correction, right? Anybody here ever receive a spanking when you were growing up? Okay, spankings are good, right? My dad had this special way about him. But what he would do is he would, you know, if we did something that was a spankable offense, he didn't spank for everything, of course, and we don't need to. But if it was a spankable offense, he would take us aside, first thing he would do is like torture. He'd make you go sit on the end of your bed. You had to wait, right? You're sitting there going, oh, man. And you just kind of, you know, when I was a kid, our bedrooms were upstairs, so it's like, here. You're going, oh no, the giant is coming, right? And then you'd hear the sound that just literally just made your blood curdle. You're just like, you hear this as his belt was coming through the loops in his pants, right? Just you knew the belt was coming off, and you're like, oh no, this is gonna hurt. And then he had this other thing though. He'd sit us down and he'd say, okay, do you understand what went wrong here? And he talked to us about it, and he'd just say, hey, listen. Here's the deal. You did this, I told you no. You did it again, I told you no again. You did it a third time, and this isn't baseball, you're just out, right? We gotta deal with this. And since you don't have enough sense to stop when I ask you to stop, we're gonna make sure that you know no means no, and it means no right now, all right? And then he'd give us three whacks with his belt, three with the belt. But he's always in control of himself. It always made complete sense. He'd always walk us through it. Now, the one thing that he did that was just a little too much fun for him is he'd say, if you try and flinch or move, I'm going to give you another one. And he'd do this. And he had like, I don't know, like a hitch in his shoulder or something, but he'd pull back like he was going to spank you, and then he'd like flinch his wrist or something, and you'd kind of automatically flinch, and he'd have to give you a fourth one. He liked that, just way too much, you know? It's like, man, you're just doing that on purpose, you know? But I'm not kidding, that happened. But it was a good time. Then afterwards, what? There was shedding of tears, and there was grabbing of attention, and there was shearing of hearts and minds. Okay. You can't just negotiate with your kids. Sometimes you gotta tell them no, and they gotta know it's over, like now. Right, I had Gordon Lehman. How many here for Gordon's training? We could go on Wednesday? Okay. Gordon, when he was young, and you know, he's older than me, and his kids are older, and Jill and I are just starting to have our kids, and we're talking about training kids. And he goes, I can't believe kids at the supermarket. He goes, they just run amok. They're like all over the place, they're just going crazy. And he goes, as we're walking out, this little kid, his mom's got the cart pushing everything, and this little kid goes, flies right out the door and right into the middle of the parking lot, right? As people are coming up in front of the doors. And your mom's screaming, stop, Johnny, stop, you know. And he went right out there, and Gordon looked at his two kids and said, I want you to tell me about that kid. And his little daughter looks up at him, and she goes, that's a dead kid, Dad. Right? Nothing happened. He was fine. But the principle she understood, you don't listen to your parents. It could be a very short life. Right? We need to dial it in. And this world is telling our kids that they are in charge and they don't have to listen to authority, and there is only one person they're responsible to, themselves. It's a tough life out there. That is the way of death. That's the way of Satan. That's the way of hell. We don't do that here. Moms and dads, you want your kid to have love and in that discipline here, keep bringing them. Our children's program downstairs is second to none. It's awesome. It's awesome. You know, we do the same thing for the young people too. But the other thing that's really great is, as adults, we do that for one another here too, don't we? Right? You know, we have the elder board that gets together and makes sure that we're all flying right, and we check in, and we're accountable. Right? We do life together. And Josh is talking about community groups. If you're not in one, join one. It's a great opportunity for someone to come alongside you and lovingly walk with you as the Lord moves you ahead and help you part of that process. It's a great opportunity. So the next thing. Psalm 90, verse 12. We've got the hourglass there. Teach us to number our days that we may gain heart and wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Okay, so does anybody here have their smartphone with them? All right, if you would punch in 365 times 80, 365 times 80, and then just go ahead and shout the number out to me. What is it, Mike? 29,200 days. All right? All right, so now type in 365 times 57. $20,800. Okay. So if you are 80, you've lived 29,000 days. If you're 60, you've lived almost 21,000 days. You used up 2/3 of your oxygen-consuming days. Isn't that amazing? We need to number our days. Folks, if we want to stay focused on our family, even though there's this sense of immortality that still indwells us and timelessness, we need to realize we have a very short lifespan here on earth. Right? We need to be about the business of the Lord right now. You need to make corrections in your life right now. This is the time to do it. Okay? There's no putting it off. We don't have more time to waste. And the reason I said 57 instead of 56, because Brad's 57, I'm only 56, you know. But you know what I mean? We're on the cusp of this thing. So as a parent, are you doing your job? Okay? As a husband, are you loving your wife so much? So much that just she literally sees Jesus in you. Wives, are you holding your husband up so much that he literally sees Jesus in you? And mom and dad, do your kids see the Lord at work in your life? And do they know that as you are raising them, it's not for your benefit, but for theirs and the hope of their future for what you're doing? I think that's one of the things, guys, that we did with our kids is we let them know, hey, listen, this is not about mom and dad. I'm not making you do this because it's good for me, right? I'm making you do this because it's good for you. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest things that we have out there right now, and Wayne Benchoff, this was a year ago, we were talking about this. But Wayne told me, he said, Grant, you know, I come in, and Wayne's a mechanic. He says, we have these young guys come in. He goes, they don't last a month. They just don't want to work hard. Whose fault is that? Mom and dad didn't tell them, you need to work hard in this life. I don't care what you do. If you dig ditches, you dig ditches. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? But you do the best job you can. You get out there and work hard. Right? Our government is making people lazy. That's not the message we need to send. If you want to eat, you work. That's what our Bible says. Right? And it doesn't matter whether you think you're making a huge contribution or not. If you're out there serving the Lord, no matter what you're doing, you're on point, we're on the same team, we enjoy all the same benefits together. It's an awesome thing. Okay? See, there's no special treatment for different people, different statuses of people around here. There's just one treatment. Everybody, we're part of the body. We just get together, and everybody loves one another, and we are learning to love each other better than we did last week. But I'll tell you what, we're just on page. Why? Not for our own personal benefit, but for those around us that don't know Christ yet. I want to throw out some statistics here. And I think this is going to be help drive home a point. All right. 73%. Okay, these are non-Christian people that were interviewed. 73% of non-Christians don't think that their friends talk too much about their faith. So that's good, right? But here's another statistic. 29% say a Christian has ever shared how to become a Christian with them. So I'd say we're not over-talking our faith. We may not be talking about it enough. 73% have Christian friends, but only 29% have actually heard how to accept Christ as my Savior. Right? So we've got some work to do, but it's not bad. Okay? Here's another important point. This is why we don't play a lot of games here. Okay, I mean, we have fun, but we don't play games here. 62% of children interviewed went to church as children, but they walked away as adults. Why? That's huge. Now, some of them come back. Some of them come back. But that's a big, big monumental number. Okay. Let's go back to the first part. If a friend of mine really values their faith, I don't mind them talking to me about it. 79% of the people said that. So 8 out of 10 people that you know, if you know that they're not born again and they need to be, 8 out of 10 of them say, hey, fine, let's talk about it. I'm absolutely open to that. That's encouraging, right? I think it's a great time. Is our world in chaos right now? Is stuff going wrong? Are things beyond our control? Yeah, absolutely. We can point to many different things all around the globe that just show how out of control this world is. Hey, people need hope. People need hope. Let's share it with them. 22% of American adults claim no religious affiliation. 67% of unchurched people say they are unlikely to attend church in the future. For them, spirituality and church do not naturally go together. When millennials were asked where they go for spiritual help, the church did not make the top 10 list. Where do you go for spiritual help? Caribou. Right? Right? You know? I mean, our world lives in a cliche. It's just sad how shallow people are. Right? Shallow. Right? But that's Satan. Right? That's Satan. He's after him. 58% of unchurched people think about life after death only once a year or never. But they do think a lot about how to live well each day. Brad's talked about this, people buying these little mini houses. Why? Because they want to experience things. They have all these experiences they want to plan. They're loading up their lives. And, you know, I love technology. I do not want to drive a car that does not have air conditioning. Matter of fact, I don't want to ride a horse, right? I enjoy my truck. Okay? So I love technology like anybody else. But one of the side effects of technology is we don't have any downtime. We don't have any downtime. You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? Actually, I'm going to leave this afternoon. I'm going to run up to my cabin, right? And I'm going to hang out with my family a little bit. But I'm going to go and completely unplug and get my fishing rod out. And you know what? A lot of times I'll catch a fish. Sometimes I don't. But I always come back a happy guy. Because it's just a time to sit and be quiet. Sit and be still. Sit and pray for you guys. To be honest with you. Okay? That's what we're doing here. Okay, this gives us an opportunity to come and sit and have God directly input into our lives and cut out all the other junk, all the other noise, and just call and go, thanks, Lord. Thanks for speaking to me this morning. Just to kind of wrap things up here, as we number our days, I think it's important to look at a really important passage of Scripture. In Matthew 24, 38 and following, I'm going to flip to that. This is really important. No one knows about what day or what hour, or not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came. And it took them all away. That is how it will be in the coming of the Son, for the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, and the other is left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. So you must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect him. All right, so what happened? Jesus left. When he was taken from the cross and ascended into heaven, right? He also left with a promise. He's coming back for us. And we don't know when. We don't know when. I would love to have the date, right? So we can kind of go, hey, listen, you got to get saved now because it's over. We don't. Right? And personally, I like not having an expiration date, right? I don't feel like, you know, salad dressing in the fridge has been open for more than 2 weeks, right? But I'll tell you what, we need to be ready and be looking for this event called the rapture. Jesus is coming back and he's going to take us. We don't know when it is. When he comes back, will he find you ready? Will you be the one who's prepared? No matter what day, you live in that stasis, you live in that position of being involved with God, listening to what he's telling you, and doing what he wants you to do. Are you doing that? You don't have to be perfect. You're just moving in that direction, guys. Right? Everybody knows here, there's no one perfect in this place. No one's playing that game. No one's kidding themselves. Right? It's just us. It's just the family. Right? We all know each other's warts, wrinkles, and whatever else. Right? And we all love one another. But I'm just telling you, in love, we got to be after it. Okay? Brad likes to say it this way. If the Lord tarries, okay? If the Lord tarries, we're having Andy and Bethany here for youth on Saturday night, and then we're having them for church, and then we're having them for the following Wednesday, If the Lord tarries, between now and then, you need to invite everybody you know. They need to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was born, died, paid the sacrificial penalty for your sins, and was raised again and has victory over death, hell, and the grave, and is coming back for us. Is that good news? No matter what else is going on, that's exactly what we're talking about here this morning. All right? This is good. The first experience I really had with death was a little boy. His name was Alan Milburn. He was a good friend of mine. We went to church together. And when I say little, he was 10. And Alan was helping his mom at the house. And they had an older house and really steep stairs into the basement. And he went down to get some canned goods. He slipped and fell. And when he hit the bottom of the steps, what no one knew was he had a brain aneurysm. He had a weakness in a vessel in his head. And my little buddy, Alan, who was one of my best friends, I had two good buddies back then, Alan and Gary, and my little buddy, Alan, at age of 10, went to heaven. Okay? One of the things his mom took great comfort in, and his dad had passed years earlier, so this was devastating to her. It was her only man left in her life, was she had a little New Testament that he had received when he asked Jesus to be his personal Savior. And so she knows, even though she didn't get to live out his days with him here on earth, she knows she will see him again. That's exciting, right? That is good news. And that's what we have. We have complete faith and hope and trust in that. Why? Because God has never lied. His unchanging, unfailing word is the rock that we hold to, right? So we're excited about this. So coming soon to you, the rapture. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to sit and just think about your word and look at various passages of scripture, Lord, and just go, hey, yeah, what am I living for? Am I in it for the moment? Am I in it for the experience? Or do I really go, hey, there's people, there's a lost and dying out there, world out there, and evidently they're willing for us to talk to them. Father, we just need you to embolden us. We need your Holy Spirit to empower us to just talk to people and let them know the good news that we already know. Father, just encourage each one of us this week as we spend the next few minutes together, Lord, and as we go on our own way after that. Please bring us back together safely as we wait for Jesus and look for Jesus to come back. And Lord, we're excited about that. Father, keep us focused on you, being a disciple for you, understanding the family that we have and the giftedness and the way you've made them special so they can be yours and serve you in a unique and special way. Father, we just throw our whole selves out before you here this morning, and we look forward to what's coming up this week. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.